This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All righty, welcome back in from New Orleans. Appreciate our friends at WWL for hosting us today, as I believe this is our final day in New Orleans, and then we should be back at our New York City headquarters coming up on Tuesday. The big story of the day, well, obviously the Philadelphia Eagles are world champions, their second Super Bowl championship victory, as you saw them take care and just destroy the Kansas City Chiefs last night. You look at storylines from this game. Vic Fangio with one of the all-time great defensive game plans. His defense was unbelievable. They didn't even blitz once, and they were in the grill of Patrick Mahomes all night long. And then you get to it on the offensive side. Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl MVP. He was magnificent in the game last night. Nick Sirianni has shut everybody up. And on the other side, we all know Mahomes is great. We all know Andy Reid is great. But with that being said, now they've had two duds in the Super Bowl, where it's okay to lose, but when you're non-competitive and you get blown out, that's stunning. The Chiefs' offensive line was not good last night, but Mahomes was clearly rattled. So that's how you kind of look back at this Super Bowl. We'll get into the halftime show, which I thought was terrible in the stadium. I will say, we didn't know that when I was going to New Orleans, that we were going to be staying in the Eagles' hotel. I didn't know that. It was so cool, though, the entire week when you saw the players, and you also saw their families, too. And you sometimes forget about the family aspect of football as well. And, you know, a few nights before the game, you see Cooper DeJean with his family. And then he goes on, you know, on his birthday in the Super Bowl to go get a pick six. And that's pretty damn cool. It really is. And you see Saquon interacting with his kids and his fiance. Pretty damn cool. And, you know, I got a chance to run into Brandon Graham earlier in the week. And, man, BG is one of the classiest dudes that I know. And if that was his last game, just an unbelievable career. And it was great to see him return from that injury and then come on out there and win his second championship with the Philadelphia Eagles. But last night, man, what a zoo. What a zoo that was in the hotel. And you got to see Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman come on in elated with the trophy. You see like Jordan Mailata, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Lane Johnson, all the players come through. And then Perloff and I, we were fortunate enough to be able to get into the party afterwards in the team hotel, which was really off the charts. It was awesome. They had Diplo was there, Big X the Plug, who they should have had him do the halftime show. He's in my rotation, Big X the Plug, on my playlist when I work out on the elliptical, and I do a little Bruce Springsteen, a little Billy Joel. Right? This is the most diverse playlist ever. And, you know, you just go on and on and on with names of musicians that you like. And Big X the Plug, you know, I listen to him about 2-3 times a week. And to be able to see him play at the victory celebration was pretty damn cool. They had Gilly there, who has really become like the mascot of the Philadelphia Eagles fan base. And yet all the players just having a good time and enjoying themselves. You know, I'll tell you this. This was probably the coolest thing from the party. So I'm standing in line, and a college buddy of mine, he comes up to me. And he goes, Zach, good to see you, blah, blah, blah. We're talking. And one of my college buddies, he has a relative who works for the Eagles. And he goes, I saw Shane Gillis last night. And this is what he was telling me, a story. So this was on Saturday. And I guess he played or like he performed together with Zach Bryan, the country singer. And I go, yeah, so cool, right? I go, well, turn around. Shane Gillis was standing. He had no clue. The great comedian was standing right behind him. So we start talking about whatever show that they went to. I wasn't there with Shane Gillis. And I got a chance earlier in the week. And, you know, I saw a concert and Shane Gillis was actually doing he was the opening act for Post Malone. That's what he was doing. He was doing the opening act for Post Malone, but it was so weird. They put Shane Gillis out there for about 5 seconds. He said two things like, you know, I'm pretty messed up right now. Like, he said, go Birds and enjoy the game. And it was just weird. Because he even said, I don't even know what he's doing up on the stage. So I said to Shane Gillis, I go, can I ask you something? I go, because he was talking about the Zach Bryan thing that he did the other night. I go, yeah, but that wasn't the best thing you did all week. I said, the best thing you did all week was Post Malone. And he was chuckling. He goes, you were there? And I go, yeah, I was there. I go, what the heck happened? And I guess whoever told him to go there for Post Malone, they said, oh, you want to just introduce him for about 10 seconds? And the right as he's going on, they said they want him to do 20 minutes on stage. He's like, I'm not prepared to do 20 minutes on stage. So I ended up getting a photo last night with Shane Gillis as he had two Bud Lights in one hand. And we ended up talking for 10 minutes. But really good guy. And it was a who's of celebrities last night at the victory party for the Philadelphia Eagles. So it was neat being in the hotel. It really was. I couldn't imagine being in the Chiefs hotel last night. You know, I know that they won three championships in recent memory. I know they won back-to-back. But whenever you're losing a Super Bowl and you're going for history, or just losing a Super Bowl period, you know, it's got to be a morgue in that hotel after the game. All righty, Angelo Cataldi, he's going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. But let's do a little onside, offside. Stu, hit it.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
All righty, Stuart, what do we got cooking?
All right, Zach. Well, Samter's Chiefs lost their bid for a three-peat.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even, Samter claims the Chiefs when they win. We haven't heard anything from that guy today.
Yeah, he's been pretty quiet around the office. They lost their bid.
You know, let me tell you, my heart breaks for him. My condolences, Mike, all right? I feel really miserable for you.
Now questions are popping up about Travis Kelce's future. Now, Kelce did say on opening night that he hopes to play for a few more seasons.
Where will I be in 3 years? Oh, man, I don't know. Hopefully still playing football. I love doing this. I love coming into work every day. And, you know, I feel like I still got a lot of good football left in me, but we'll see what happens. I know I've been setting myself up for other opportunities in my life, and that's always been the goal, knowing that football only lasts for so long. But for the most part, I plan on being a Kansas City Chief and playing football.
However, a new report from Ian Rappaport says that Kelce hasn't made up his mind about playing next season and is expected to take some time to consider his future. So onside, offside, we have seen Travis Kelce play his last NFL game.
So last year I thought that the end was near for Travis Kelce. Could have what he said earlier in the week that you play just be his way of answering it and trying to avoid the storylines but making it think that retirement's not even on his mind? My question is, what does Travis Kelce want? You know, Travis Kelce's still a heck of a football player. He's one of the greatest tight ends that we've ever seen. But have you already won enough and you've made up more money than people could imagine? Do you want to just go be a star and not have to get hit all the time? Because Travis Kelce, we've seen what happened with Jason Kelce. And Jason Kelce is the media star now. Travis Kelce could do whatever he wants, you know, not only because of his own name and his brand, but he's also dating Taylor Swift. But I don't think that's his last game. I thought that was genuine earlier in the week, and it was a little bit different, so maybe it's not, and maybe I'm taking the bait. But I think Travis Kelce will be back next year. So have we seen Travis Kelce play in his last NFL game? I'm going to say offside on that one. I think he'll be back with the Kansas City Chiefs next year.
Offside!
All right. Jalen Hurts, he won the Super Bowl MVP, but the award could have easily gone to Josh Sweat, who dominated the line of scrimmage. He had 2.5 sacks, 6 tackles, and 2 tackles for a loss. After the game, the impending free agent said, quote, Money's important, sure, but I want to be in the right situation, end of quote. So onside's offsides, Josh Sweat should be paid as an elite-level pass rusher.
He's a phenomenal pass rusher. He has 43 sacks, and he didn't really start to accumulate those sacks since 2020. He's been in the league since 2018. You know, you look at it, 2020 had 6, 2021, 7.5, 2022, 11, this past year, 6.5, this past year, 8. But in the biggest moment, he dominated. He'll get paid a pretty penny. There's no doubt about that. But elite-level pass rusher, as great as Josh Sweat is, he's not Myles Garrett. He's not T.J. Watt. He's not Max Crosby. He's not Micah Parsons. I don't even think he's Trey Hendrickson. He's really damn good. But in terms of elite-level pass rusher, no. I would not say that's the case. So, you know, it's weird saying on a day like this. But Sweat should be paid as an elite-level pass rusher. That's top five money. In my opinion, that's the way that I interpret it. I would say offside to that.
Offside!
Now, before the game, Jay Glazer dropped a bombshell reporting that Aaron Rodgers flew to Jersey last week to meet with Jets brass, only for them to tell him that they will be moving on from him next season. Now, Ian Rappaport reports that the team will likely move on from wide receiver Davante Adams as well. So onside's offsides, you expect Rodgers and Davante to team up together next season.
Yeah, how bizarre was that, by the way? I know a lot of news comes out Super Bowl week because everyone's trying to get their names out there and so many people are in the same area, so people are talking. I was not expecting that Rodgers news to come on out yesterday, Stu. And not only that, there were a few people that refuted it, but if it's Jay Glazer and Ian Rappaport, those are two of the top five NFL insiders that we have. So I have to expect that to be true. But remember when Aaron Glenn got the job, like about 10 days ago, whatever it was? You know, people were saying, oh, Aaron Glenn prefers to keep Aaron Rodgers. So you expect Rodgers and Davante to team up together next season? If I'm Davante Adams, I wouldn't. I would go somewhere else. I said it at, you know, before the deadline. You know, go to Baltimore. Go to the Commanders. Aaron Rodgers, at this point, he's washed. You know, at most, he's playing one more season. So why would you want to keep on teaming up with him? I know you love him. I know he's your guy. But why keep on teaming up with him when you're looking for who that franchise guy? It's the first reason why you left him. Because you thought you were going to go be able to team up and play all those years with Derek Carr. So stop trying to hitch your wagon to Aaron Rodgers. So what, like Davante Adams or Aaron Rodgers goes to the Raiders or Tennessee or wherever, Cleveland? Davante Adams should go there? Absolutely not. So you expect Rodgers and Davante to team up together next season? I'm going to go offside on that one.
Offside.
Now, the 49ers were one of the biggest disappointments of the season and will have a lot of questions this offseason. First, the team will need to re-sign quarterback Brock Purdy, and owner Jed York told reporters, quote, "We want Brock here for a long time, a long, long time, and I believe we will make it happen," end of quote. Now, however, our best friend Deebo Samuel has publicly requested a trade, telling Adam Schefter that he told the team that he wants out during his exit meeting. So onsides, offsides, the 49ers Super Bowl window is now closed.
I don't think it's closed because I expected Deebo Samuel to not be back with the 49ers after this season. I remember when the Brandon Ayuk stuff was happening, I would say that the Niners would get a deal done, and then a year from now, which is now, Deebo Samuel would be out. The juice isn't worth the squeeze anymore for Deebo Samuel. I don't have a problem with that. So he wants to leave. I'm sure the 49ers are fine with it as well because it's time to move on. But this team is still very good. Right, there's a question on what's the ceiling for Brock Purdy. When we talked to Joe Montana the other day, he was adamant, and he was really as animated as I've ever heard Joe Montana talk about his support and his praise of Brock Purdy. But still, you look at the NFC, the Eagles aren't going anywhere, the Lions aren't going anywhere. And outside of that, right, would it shock you if the Niners go make a run next year? No, it wouldn't. You know, Commanders are good. Packers still got to be able to take that next step. We'll see what Minnesota does, as we don't even know what's going to happen with their quarterback situation. Can't take the Bears seriously until they start to put some tangible proof out there. And the NFC South, there's no Super Bowl team. The West, we'll see what the Rams look like with all the changes they're going through. So, yeah, I still think that this window is open for the 49ers, but it could be an all-in, like, last kind of run because they're going to have to now pay Brock Purdy. And when you pay Brock Purdy, you know what happens. You got to start cutting people and getting rid of guys because of how much you're giving to the quarterback who's been on a rookie deal. So the 49ers Super Bowl window is closed. Not yet. I'm going offside.
Offside!
In what might be the least shocking development ever, Anthony Davis is already hurt with the Mavs.
I saw that during the game. You know, when you're here in the Super Bowl and you're engulfed with all the NFL content, someone said that to me yesterday, and I go, already? It's wild. And then we'll get to the Delta Connect stuff, too. But that was another thing that happened.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What a disaster. Whole thing's a disaster.
So, AD, he had a monster start in his first game with Dallas, dropping 26 points, 16 boards, and 7 assists with 3 blocks in just 31 minutes, but left the game after suffering a left abductor strain that will sideline him for multiple weeks. So, onside to offsides, the Mavs can still make a playoff run if AD is healthy.
Stu, on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked are you with this Anthony Davis injury?
I would say it's like a 1.5.
Right? Like, yeah. Tell me another day that ends in Y, pretty much. So that's what I never got with this whole trade. I didn't get a lot with this whole trade. But you're trading Luka because you think he's out of shape and he's lazy. And you go bring in Anthony Davis, so I don't question his work ethic. And I know we made it through a full season last year, but outside of that, the guy's usually always hurt. So the Mavs can still make a playoff run if AD is healthy. Yeah, but the question is, will he be healthy? Now, like, what do you mean by a playoff run? Do I think that they're going to go to the NBA Finals? No. But can they go win a round or two? Is that what you're asking me?
I would say get to the conference finals.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say no. I think they could win a round. But to win 2 rounds? I think as great as Kyrie Irving is and Anthony Davis is awesome, that to me would take away from what Luka Doncic did there. I know he made an NBA Finals there, and Anthony Davis is a really damn good player, but Anthony Davis is in the same league as Luka Doncic. And you're going to start to get that locker room, I would imagine, be frustrated, would be my guess, because Nico Harrison has a lot of questions. So the Mavs will make a playoff run if AD is healthy. If we're defining playoff run by getting to the conference finals, I think they could win 1 round. I don't think they could win 2. So I'm going offside.
Offside.
All right, and the last one, as you previously mentioned, the other team in the AD trade, the Lakers, they made a second move to fill the gap at center as they traded first-round pick from this year, Dalton Connect, and others to the Hornets for talented yet often injured big man Mark Williams. However, after Williams failed his physical, the trade was rescinded and Connect was returned to the Lakers. So onside to offsides, the Lakers are better off with Connect than Williams.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Dalton Connect. And I thought that whoever got him was going to get a heck of a player. But Stu, with the need for a big man, were you disappointed when you found out about this news?
Yes, because they really have no answer at big man right now, and they're going to have to rely on the buyout market.
And that's the thing. You don't know how many more years LeBron has left.
Right.
So the Lakers are better off with Connect than Williams. Like, I think Connect's going to be a really good player, but in terms of what they need Williams more. So better off this season? Absolutely not. I would go offside.
Offside.
Did I go all offside today? We've seen Travis Kelce play his last game.
Yeah.
Last game offside. Sweat should be paid as an elite-level pass rusher offside. Rodgers and Adams team up offside. Niners Super Bowl window being closed offside. And then, yeah, the last 2 basketball
six
questions,
we
ended up going offside. Look at that. How about that? And I'm showing up in the big game. I'm showing up in the big moments. I'm the antithesis of the Kansas City Chiefs last night as they failed to show up. Jeez. Eagles just mauled them. Mauled him. All righty, we will get to Angelo Cataldi, one of the goats in our business when it comes to sports talk radio. The most entertaining radio host I've ever heard. Angelo Cataldi will join us next.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That, of course, is Merrill Reese and Mike Quick on Sports Radio 94 WIP, the Eagles radio network, and a man that dominated the WIP radio airwaves for many, many, many years. A man that I interned for, one of the best morning drive talk show hosts of all time, and he's smiling today. He's positive today. That is the great Angelo Cataldi. Angelo, how are you?
I couldn't be better, Zach. It's a great day to be in Philadelphia, and I can tell you that. This is spectacular here.
So whenever I watch a game with my dad, and I notice this in his older years, if the game is close, there's stress, there's agita, and I worry about his health. That was a stress-free game for you last night, Ange.
It was wonderful. At the half, Eagles 24, Chiefs nothing. With 23 total yards, 24 points versus 23 yards. There isn't a person alive who predicted that, Zach. That was domination beyond our wildest dreams. And you know, in Philly, we kind of live in a fantasy world, but it exceeded our greatest expectations. And today is a day of jubilation in Philadelphia.
And that's where you start. It's the defensive performance. They just molded that Chiefs offensive line. They made Mahomes panic, and Andy Reid had no answer. Vic Fangio, my oh my, Angelo. What a game plan and what a performance by his defense.
Wow. And when he came to Philly a year ago, he was coming off a kind of a contentious situation in Miami. Some of his players were thrilled he left.
Yeah, players now looking back at it with those Dolphins.
Yeah, and he took this team. And here's what was so amazing about yesterday. The guy who's been most responsible for the great performance for the defense has been arguably Jalen Carter in the middle. And he did not dominate because they doubled him the whole time. But he made everyone else on the defensive line better. And they just Josh Sweat just had his way with the offensive line and all the other guys. Milton Williams had a great game. And no one saw that coming. The Eagles' pass rush was not one of its best features this year. And Mahomes, oh, the look on his face, play after play, the pocket collapsing on top of him. Oh, it was miraculous. It was incredible.
And I was at the game, and there was a lot of Eagles fans around me, but right behind me, there was three or four Chiefs fans, and they were just so quiet, and I get it, right? You spend all this money to go to the Super Bowl. Even when you win all these Super Bowls and your team loses, it's miserable. When you're non-competitive, it's the worst thing in the world. And he turned to me. This was before the Zach Bond interception, right? It's only 17-0 for Mahomes. He can make that up in a snap of a finger, and he goes to me, Mahomes is having his Sam Darnold seeing ghost game. And I'm like, Mahomes, Sam Darnold? And then the next play, boom, Bond interception. He goes, trust me, I know when my team is about to lose. I couldn't believe that.
Zach, I have not been a huge fan of Tom Brady in the booth, but I thought he was really good in the NFC Championship game and good again yesterday. And he was saying, he was just watching Mahomes' feet after the first couple of series. And he was saying he doesn't look comfortable back there. And there's a term, he didn't use the term, but he was saying he had happy feet. He was afraid to stay in the pocket because everything was collapsing on top of him. And suddenly Mahomes, who had been so great in all of these big moments, looked like Sam Darnold. He looked awful. And you went, is that even possible? He just couldn't do it. And you look over on the sideline, and Andy Reid, oh, my God, he's the greatest coach in history, which, by the way, he is not. I watched him for 14 years in Philly. He's way overrated. But he's on the sideline. He's got no answers, nothing. He doesn't know what to do. It was 34-0 before they got on the board. Zach, all of it was insane because that kind of domination – should not be happening against the greatest coach that ever lived and the greatest quarterback that ever lived. And neither of them are actually that. And I think we learned that yesterday.
And that's the stunning part. It's because of how great Mahomes and Andy Reid are. This has now been two Super Bowls, right? Brady and Belichick lost three Super Bowls. They were never blown out. They have now got blown out of two Super Bowls, and it's the same formula. It is just take advantage of the offensive line. You know, it's not easy to make Mahomes nervous, but he's now been nervous in two Super Bowls because he gets his brains just smashed in. And if we don't need a PhD in football. You hit the quarterback, all of them. You hit the quarterback, you find a way to win the game, but how there was no adjustment and no moment where even the Eagle fan felt, okay, this game's going to slip away. That's the stunning part, that Mahomes and Reid couldn't even make that happen for a few drives. And don't tell me about the fourth quarter. At that point, right, the Eagles are already popping the champagne and getting ready to celebrate in the hotel.
Well, let me let your audience in on a little secret, all right, because most of the country will argue this to the death. Andy Reid is way overrated as a coach, all right? Andy Reid was in Philadelphia 14 years. He won zero championships. Doug Peterson was here five. He won one. Nick Sirianni's been here four. He won one. The only reason Andy Reid was winning big games in KC was because he had this mastermind, Mahomes, making up plays on the run and doing brilliant stuff. The only reason Mahomes didn't do that yesterday is he had no time to do it. And Andy Reid could not figure out a way to give him time to do it. And the truth is, Mahomes is a stud. Mahomes is a great player despite yesterday. Zach, no argument. Reid, the all-time fraud of American sports is Andy Reid. And one other thing, these commercials are out showing how charming and funny he is. I was there for 14 years. I talked to him a ton. He is neither. He is not that at all. It's all Madison Avenue. And I'm hoping now the world will start to see Andy Reid in a different light because he's a fraud. He's not that great.
Now, what's the truth with you and Andy Reid? Just wondering, because out of all like the rants that you've ever gone on, it seems like Andy Reid's been the one that's most personal when I listen to you.
All right. I'm going to make it personal for you, all right, Zach? If you're interviewing somebody over and over and over and over and over again, and they don't actually answer your questions, they give you robotic responses. I got to do a better job. All this garbage that he slung for 14 years in Philly. At what point in those 14 years would you start to feel hostile toward the person because he has this exalted spot as the coach of the Eagles and he won't give a straight answer to a simple question? I'd say 3 or 4 years in, I started to lose my patience with him and I never got it back. And he never won it back by winning a game like Nick Sirianni did yesterday.
Angelo Cataldi here with us. So what Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts have done last year, I didn't count the quarterback out, but I counted the coach out. I said it headed into this season. It was a mistake to bring back Sirianni. I thought he was a player's coach that was a doormat. But being around that team a little bit, that I still parachute into Philadelphia and see these games and talk to the people in the locker room, I sensed a different Nick Sirianni the last 2 months. He's not a doormat anymore because, man, 4 years on the job, four playoff appearances, two Super Bowl appearances, and now he found a way to right this ship after what was an all-time great collapse, where now, a year later, they're Super Bowl champions.
All right, full disclosure, he righted the ship because his bosses, Jeff Lurie, the owner, and Howie Roseman, the GM, decided to strip all day-to-day coaching away from him. He no longer coaches the offense. He no longer has anything to say about the defense. He doesn't do special teams. They just had him do the one thing that he apparently is incredibly good at, creating a culture. And it's not something I've ever reacted all that well to because it's so subjective. But here's the thing. When they were dousing him in that Gatorade and he was hugging all those players at the end, even I, who have never been a huge fan of Sirianni, I had to say, well, obviously they love playing for the guy. They play their butts off for him. They really care about him. So there's something to be said for that. So I'll give him that much. And I've never really given him that much. I also got to talk to him after every game. And he's not very honest either. He was very boilerplate, you know, typical stuff. But I got to give him credit. He created the culture of his success of a great team. And he did it after a total collapse 1 year ago. That I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Now, you've been doing this, obviously, for a long time. Brandon Graham is as good of a person as they come. But you talk about a Philadelphia sport athlete, two championships, two Super Bowl championships with the Eagles, right? No offense to the Phillies, the Sixers, the Flyers. Winning in Philadelphia in football, there is no second to that. Where does Brandon Graham go down in the annals of Philadelphia sports history?
I think he needs a statue, Zach. I think we got to build him a statue outside Lincoln Financial Field. The guy, it was really fun yesterday to listen to Tom Brady mention Brandon Graham because Brandon Graham ruined the Super Bowl 7 years ago for Brady. He stripped him of the ball. It was the biggest play in the game. And he somehow got himself back on the field and still looked like he belonged in his 16th season playing at that position. He's a god in Philadelphia. You understand? For the other reason being what you said before, he's got as good a personality as you could ever have. He loves Philadelphia. Philadelphia loves him back. And he's going to be, you know, next time we do one of those Mount Rushmore, Zach, I think Brandon Graham might move his way into the top four. That's how big it is when you win two here.
Is this the greatest Eagles team you've ever seen?
Yes. No hesitation whatsoever. It's the best Eagles team. I'd even go further and say, of the four sports, it's the best team. I've been in Philly 40 years, and of the four, this is the best team any of the four sports has had because it's so complete, it's deep, it's young, it's old, it's got a mixture of everything, and running the controls at offense is Jalen Hurts, who proved to everybody yesterday that he's a champion.
And also, I think now a top five quarterback in the NFL. You know, yes. Josh Allen, Mahomes, no order, Lamar Jackson, yes. And Joe Burrow – you talk about another quarterback there, like Jaden Daniels has to do more. Stafford has been good, but Hurts beat him in the postseason. The story on Hurts is unbelievable. Benched at Alabama, stays there, comes on back in the SC championship game, what happened in Oklahoma. And then when he got drafted, and I was talking to your best friend McNabb the night that he got drafted, and McNabb was actually complimentary of him, but at that time, Carson Wentz was the guy in Philadelphia. And now Hurts, the fans last night, Angelo, chanting "Put in Carson" to me was just typical awesome Philadelphia.
That was great. That, let me tell you something. That would have been the ultimate if he showed up back on the field in the Super Bowl in the other team's uniform. But yeah, just so your audience knows, I have at no point endorsed your obsession with talking to Donovan McNabb. However, next time you talk to Donovan, tell him, "See this guy here, Jalen Hurts. This is what a champion looks like. I wish it could have been you, but this is a winner." And the way his demeanor, that hurts his demeanor, that he never smiles. He has he just focuses. I love that. That's my kind of quarterback.
All righty, before we let you run, what did you think the biggest play in the game was last night when you look back at it?
The Dijon interception return for touchdown, pick six. It was a great play on both ends, the catch and getting up and doing all that. That's the first time I looked at it and went, oh, my God, could this be a route? Could this be an easy win?
Should he have won the MVP? Are you good with Hurts with the MVP? Or do you think it should have been DeJean?
It could have been either one. There's plenty of other great plays, but I just thought that when it went to 17, not that I said it's over. That's what I thought.
Yeah. But, wow. So that quickly, because for me it was Bond, because when Bond makes that pick with two minutes left, if Mahomes goes down the field and scores to get the ball come out of half, but when he picks off the ball where he did and they put the ball in the end zone, that was to me was the Bond was the biggest play of the game, I thought.
Yeah. All I know is it was definitely in the first half. It's unbelievable. The Eagles are champions, Zach. Wow. So,
and for the second time, too. Like, you've done radio where I'll never forget when I was working at 97.5 The Fanatic doing postgame. And I would have, they won the Super Bowl that year, was the one year I did it. And I had people calling me from the cemetery. Hey, I'm here. I wanted to go celebrate with my dad. My great uncle Ben, right? Just hearing his voice that night was something. You never thought, a lot of people didn't think the Eagles would ever see one. Now they've seen two. How do you put that into words?
Zach, you just hit on the exact thing that makes this so special in Philly. These people that are Eagles fans are fans because it was handed down from generation to generation. And with it went a frustration. These Eagles had never won a Super Bowl until it was number 52. They hadn't won it. And when they did, people were, I mean, we were getting calls the day after that championship 7 years ago from people who had just visited their dad on his deathbed. And he was hanging on to see if they could win. And they brought their little kids in. And they were becoming Eagles fans and all. That's what it is in our city. In our city, I know it's that way in every city, but not like ours. Ours, it's in your DNA to be an Eagles fan and to be a fan for exactly what happened yesterday. We don't get it often, but when we get it, wow.
And you know what's crazy? When I did the post game, I thought there was going to be F-bombs left and right. We'd have to use the dump button. We only had to use the dump button one time, and it was because someone cursed in excitement. And we like did a 6-hour post-game show. I was stunned by that, but it just shows how special it is to people, too.
Wow, it is. If there was one F-bomb in 6 hours involving Philadelphia fans, I'm going to call the Guinness Book of World Records. That's a new record for us. We usually do that in 6 seconds.
Yeah, just by saying hello.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Angelo, you're the best. Always appreciate you when you jump on board with us. Make sure you get Angelo's book that's out called Loud. And enjoy this, Angelo.
Zach, thank you. Thank you for having me. And continued success, my friend.
You got it. There he is, the great Angelo Cataldi, Sports Radio 94 WIP legend, joining us the day after the Philadelphia Eagles have won their second Lombardi Trophy. We'll send it back to New York City headquarters. Standing by with the latest update. Here's Zach. All righty, Zach Gelb here with you, Infinity Sports Network, day after the Super Bowl. You know, nationally, Cooper DeJean, Josh Sweat, Zach Bond, Jalen Carter, those are going to be the names that are going to be talked about on the defensive side of the ball from the Super Bowl. But Milton Williams was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. He reminded me like Mike Pinnell of the Chiefs last year, how we were all praising him and kind of like underrated hero of the Super Bowl. But Milton Williams was absolutely sensational in the game. And he's only 25 years old. Like, that's the thing with the Eagles. Right, there are going to be some changes. Always change when you win a Super Bowl. You got to pay Zach Bond. Jalen Carter's a young star. Nolan Smith is a young star. DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, young stars at the cornerback position. You got a great foundation on that defensive side of the ball, which got going to this level late in the season. So now it's like, okay, what can they do for the entirety of the season when they're already perceived now to be a great defense? Really special stuff with that defense for the Philadelphia Eagles. And offense, right, A.J. Brown's not going anywhere. Devontae Smith's not going anywhere. Jalen Hurts not going anywhere. And Saquon Barkley is not going anywhere as well. And Lane Johnson says he still wants to come back. And you got the, you know, Jordan Mailata too, who is phenomenal, and some younger players in that offensive line as well. I'm not sitting here and telling you the Eagles are going to become a dynasty. You know, go win three or go win another one. And then you can start talking about dynasty because you need 3 and 5 years or 3 and 6 years, something in that stretch. But they got a damn good foundation. And also, they now have given us hope because that's the other thing. I said this many times going into the big game. If you end up having the Eagles lose twice to the Chiefs, we know that the Ravens can't beat the Chiefs in the postseason. The Bills can't beat the Chiefs in the postseason. The Niners already lost 2 Super Bowls to the Chiefs. If Philadelphia would have lost last night, there would have been no hope. And that's why I was calling Philadelphia really America's team heading into that Super Bowl, because the rest of the NFL needed hope, and Philadelphia provided that hope last night. All righty, let me get to the five things I learned from this Super Bowl. Number five, Kendrick Lamar was horrible live. And I like Kendrick. I was just waiting and waiting and waiting for Not Like Us. And I know that the Super Bowl halftime show was not made for the people in the building. But in the building, I've been to some good Super Bowl halftime shows that I've seen in the building. Like the one out in L.A. was phenomenal. But this one stunk. So let me ask you, Stu, because I usually go back, and now it's the Apple Music halftime show, so I'll watch it on the plane ride back. But, and maybe it will change my opinion, I doubt it. But what did you think about it on TV, Stu?
So Kendrick Lamar is not my taste of music per se, but there have been past Super Bowl, you know, halftime shows that I think, even though they aren't my taste of music, that I think are pretty good. I just thought it was terrible. I don't know. I just wasn't a fan of it. The music, the choreography.
You're a Drake guy is what you're telling me.
Not really either. It just didn't really do it for me. I think the Serena Williams was the best part, but other than that, it was an L for me, I would say.
What did your girlfriend think of it, Stu? Just wondering.
She wasn't that big of a fan of it either.
Yeah. Samter, how about yourself? You in and out on the halftime show.
No, I thought it was terrible. And like Stu said, I might not be the biggest Kendrick Lamar fan, but I appreciate good performances. First of all, my wife and I kept saying, I couldn't understand a word he said. Right, and Samuel L. Jackson, it felt weird. I wasn't sure exactly what they were trying to get at. I'm sure there was something under the surface that I just didn't understand. But the thing about Super Bowl halftime shows, whether it was, you know, Gaga or Michael Jackson or Katy Perry, so they've always found
Beyonce.
They've always found a way to do something unique and different. Right, last year with Eminem and Dre, it was awesome.
Well, this was just taking shots at Drake. That's what it was.
Yeah, but
because of their beef,
and it was also just boring. It was just him walking around, right, wearing jeans and a jacket, right? There was no like cool outfits or costumes. There was no cool pyrotechnic. There was nothing interesting about it. It was just a rap show, and it was fine if you like Kendrick Lamar, but I couldn't understand a word he said, and there was nothing special about what he did, aside from maybe bringing on Serena Williams for like 8 seconds at the very end of it.
Yeah, there was nothing that I thought was all that great in person, you know, when it came to Kendrick Lamar. I thought I was going to get canceled at halftime, too. I didn't realize the person that was on the field. I just thought it was a fan that ran on the field. It was one of the dancers, and they had, I think it was like a Free Palestine flag or something like that. And anytime someone runs on the field in the Super Bowl, I feel compelled to just tweet out to Matt Chatham, hey, you know, you're missed. Because Matt Chatham once decked a streaker in a Super Bowl right before half. And when I put that out there, I didn't know that there was a flag, and I didn't know what was going on. I just thought it was a fan that ran on the field. And I just saw the security just pounce on the guy. I did not know that he was one of the dancers for Kendrick Lamar. So I saw that tweet put out right away, and I got like five responses right away. It was like, you know that this had to do with this and that. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I'm just like, I'm at the Super Bowl. All right, I'm going to delete it. So that's what ended up happening. Four, Stu, my condolences. Taylor Swift finally got booed. Man, that I know it's Philadelphia, and I think she grew up as an Eagles fan. I know her dad is an Eagles fan. I don't think they showed it on TV because it was on the Jumbotron in the stadium, so you could probably check it on social media. But she got booed, and she was like, what the bleep? She couldn't believe it. I think she was surprised that she was on the big screen, and then someone said, oh, Taylor, you're on the big screen, and she was getting booed. So that's 5-4. Three, Vic Fangio had one of the best defensive game plans I've ever seen. You know, this was something. You want to talk about when Belichick was the DC of the Giants. You want to talk about the 85 Bears and their great defense, right? We're talking about all-time great defenses, the Ravens, the Seahawks. But this game plan and just individual game plans was one of the best I've ever seen. And to find out that they didn't have any blitzes in the game and they were able to still hit Mahomes and frustrate Mahomes that much was just magnificent. Two, when the Chiefs lose, it's ugly. It's so tough to beat them, but when they lose, they get rattled and just fried mentally. They were never able to recover in that game up against the Bengals in the AFC Championship game. And Mahomes, right, had that blunder right before the end of the half. And now in two Super Bowl losses, the Buccaneers, what is it, 31-9, they crushed them. And then this go around, this game was over. Angela thought it was over at 17-0. I thought it was over at 24-0, but you're splitting hairs. That game was over at halftime. And it's amazing how Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, even when they were trailing, were never really able to get back in the game. It's just crazy how flat both of them were last night. And then number one, Jalen Hurts is a top five quarterback. He's a top five quarterback in the NFL entering the 2025 season. Right, Mahomes is still better, even though Jalen Hurts outplayed him twice in the big game. I would still say Josh Allen has won a league MVP is better. Lamar Jackson has won two league MVPs is better. And Joe Burrow, right, he has trouble staying healthy, but Joe Burrow, the season that he just had was unbelievable with the amount of passing yards and the passing touchdowns. But the dual threat ability of Jalen Hurts, his arm in now two Super Bowls has been magnificent, and we know what he could do running the ball. And this was a great moment for Jalen Hurts because everyone's saying, oh, you know, all the weapons around him. Nonsense. Saquon Barkley did not have a good Super Bowl. It was horrible, but he didn't have a good Super Bowl. And Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl MVP, and they needed him to be great to go win that Super Bowl, and he did that. So those are the five things I learned from this past Super Bowl. All righty, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. Final hour from New Orleans. We'll do a little news brief next. You'll hear some audio from Super Bowl 59 as we update you some of the biggest storylines in the world of sports.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.